So there's some history to that verse that I want to share with you today. And I was considering and praying about what would be a good verse for the children, and it's kind of like a no-brainer for me that this would be the verse because it meant something to me on the first day when I went into college. I went to Nyack College for 1 year. I think many of you are aware that Nyack College is a school that some people in our church have attended for a longer time than 1 year. But for me, it was my first step into college. It's a Bible college. It's a Christian school. And so when I went into that kind of situation, it was brand new for me. And as much as I would have liked to have thought that I was prepared and ready, and I can tell you that it was a very, very nervous time for me on different levels. It was a time where I was living away from home, going into a dormitory, having a roommate, going to classes, people that I never knew before, meeting them and having teachers on a college level. It was all brand new. I think that many of us here can relate to that kind of a situation. And so I went into this history class, and I was sitting there, and I don't remember exactly what I was thinking about, but this man came into the class, and he was the teacher, and he stood in front of us, and he had a smile on his face, and he looked out at us, and he read this verse to us. And that was the way my college education began, with this verse. And so we want to take a look at this verse together. We want to open up to it. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So you can only imagine, I mean, I remember this, right? All of these years, that was many, many years ago that I stepped into that class, and I was sitting there and feeling nervous and looking around and wondering what was going to happen, and I really didn't know what I was doing. And this dear brother, wonderful man, comes and says to us, I know that you must be anxious. I know that this is a new place for you. All of us were freshmen. And he looks out at us and he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So you don't have to be afraid. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, and that's a message in itself, isn't it? And I want you to, you know, sometimes I forget things in the sermon that I want to emphasize. So I want to say this from the very beginning, that this sermon has a verse that is not only for you to listen to, but to use and to go out and to spread and to give to other people. Right? So this man came into the classroom, and the first thing that he wanted us to know is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-discipline. And so that stayed in my mind. I wish I could tell you that I did all of those things and remembered not to be afraid and to take that to heart and everything like that. But everybody, it's a gradual life, isn't it? Things don't just all happen at once. But I was moved by that. And I was brought into the kingdom. I was in the world. We were in this place. You know, Nyack College is not in some magical kingdom somewhere. It's in Nyack, New York. But there are people, and there are servants of God everywhere. God has his people. And so what I wanted to do today is I want all of you, young and old, students or not, to know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-discipline. Amen? And that's the way we're going to begin this year, this semester, this new phase, this new day that we're singing unto God. We're singing a new song to God, right? That was in the call to worship. I think that all of us, at some time, if we're honest, have a sense of fear, right? I mean, I was thinking when I said that there are some people that need to feel some fear because they are a little bit too confident in their own powers and their own self. But I think that we'll see, you know, overall, that all of us, if we're honest, we have some fear in us. It's coming from some place. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power and love and self-discipline. So we want to look at this together, these three, all of this verse together, and consider it. I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm going to talk to you about some examples of what other people have said about these concepts of the spirit, of not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. But I also want, through the Spirit today, to follow that Spirit and share some things that the Spirit has put on my heart about these as well. And so let's take a look at this. He said he has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's writing him from prison. Interesting, right? A man who's in prison is encouraging someone in the world out there, right? Outside of prison. That speaks. Amen? It doesn't matter where we are. We could be in prison. God's word is powerful, and it speaks, and so we reach other people that are outside, and he's telling him, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why? Because Paul knows that God has not given him a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control, and so he's teaching Timothy as a young man these things that he has learned. And if Timothy was wise, and we believe he was, then he would listen to what Paul was telling him from his own experience. And he would know, man, this guy is writing me from prison. Why? Because he's in prison for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has no fear. He has no fear. He's speaking out the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. And what happened as a result? Many listened and were saved, but others turned on him and wanted to kill him and threw him into prison to get him out of the way. But the Spirit of God is greater than any wall in prison. It's greater than any wall that exists in life. Indeed, God is working now in our church, in Grace Church, and wants us to know this as we begin together this journey through this 2023 fall and into the new year and through our lives. May God help us to always remember His Word. And when someone tells you something, when someone gives you a Bible verse, take it to heart and keep reminding yourself of it. Go back to it. Reflect on it. Ask God to bless you and to open up your heart to see what it is that He is doing and what He wants you to know and how you're going to use it. So he says to Timothy, who is now ministering, right, to people. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ, but he's also a disciple of Paul's. And Paul is looking at his life, and he's saying to this young man, and he is a young man. You remember that he told Timothy, don't let anybody put you down because of your age. You remember that wonderful verse, right? He's telling him that. So now he's ministering to him. He doesn't just say that. These two letters are called Timothy for a reason. He's telling him, he's teaching him and helping him. And man, that is what we have to learn here, everyone. We are teachers. When we know what's right, when we know the Word of God, we can be happy in that. And we're not going to be able to say everything perfectly. We're not going to be able to do everything perfectly, but that speaks too. And the things that you teach are not always just like, so this is what it is. You say, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I've made mistakes. I can remember voices right now of people, mentors to me from my church, who came up to me and they said, you're feeling bad about that, John? Let me tell you about me. You mind? Let me share my story with you. And they go on to tell me how they struggled with sin and different things. The Word of God is something that is living. And it lives through our lives. God speaks to us in our lives in that kind of a way. And it doesn't matter where you are right now. You may be able to receive this word. You may not. You may be going through something. It may have to do with your age. It may have to do with something else. Just like I heard that verse at that time, but there were a lot of things that immediately came into my life at Nyack College that challenged me. My roommate was not a Christian. And I spent a lot of my time worried, you know, because he was a nice guy and everything. He was he liked me. We got along, but he was like going into New York and taking drugs and coming back to school. You know, so you've faced stuff in life that's going on, but God is coming up to you and saying, I've not given you a spirit of fear, I've given you a spirit of power and love and self-control. So you can see how that would help in that situation. I failed miserably many times, but I still remember. And I knew what was right. One of my friends who mentored me, we were talking about me. Sounds so stupid, but we were talking about me because he's very interested in me. He's interested in knowing what's going on, and I'm interested in him too. But I didn't know what I was like at that time. And he said, you struggled. There was a lot of things that you struggled with, but you were struggling in faith in Christ. I remember that. And that meant a lot to me because I felt a lot better about those times. I have a tendency to look down on myself and think I failed miserably and my life is not worth much. But you know, he just said, no, you were struggling and you didn't do things right. And he used to give me a hard time because I worked in a department store at that time, and it was a men's department store, and I used to buy a lot of clothes. And he said, oh, you were totally into fashion. You were totally into clothes and stuff and the look and everything like that, you know. And I was like, no, I was not. He said, no, you were. You know, and I was. But, you know, I mean, he just did it in a kind of a loving way to jibe, you know, and to poke me a little bit to say that that's the way I was. But he knows me now, and we do a Bible study together every week. I've known him since I was a child in elementary school and high school in our church growing up. And now we're doing Bible study together, and I call him my closest friend. So you see, there's these influence that's coming into this that you need to understand, of people that are in your life like this, that God brings into our lives like that for a reason. It's not just to come and learn a lesson and to go home and come back the next week, you know, that lesson, go home. It's living, struggling, battling, trying, falling down, getting back up, all those kind of things. And God moves us through the Spirit to open up about things that other people can learn from and also grow in. You don't say, let me tell you about my situation, and I did all those terrible things and I'm still doing it. You say, I did all those things, I had a hard time, I'm struggling still, but I know who Jesus Christ is, and I know that he's the way and the truth and the life, and I have to give my life to him because there's no other way. See? So let me get into this. I'm going to have to revise things because I didn't plan on saying all that, because we have communion and we have to look at the time a little bit. But let me just share some of the things, okay? Most of it is scripture today that's going to reinforce these things, okay? So when we take a look at power, this word power in the Greek, that the word that's used in the New Testament appears 115 times in the New Testament. That means it's important. The power is a word that has many dimensions to it when we're talking about God, because God is so powerful, he has all different kinds of power going on, right? So when you're saying, oh, okay, I can give you a spirit of fear, I gave you a spirit of power, we might be jumping into this kind of feel like I can do anything. And what God does immediately is says, you can't do anything without me. So the power is God's power. I have given you a spirit, not of fear, but of power. Not to abuse it or to misuse it, but to use it for my glory. And that is one of the things that we need to talk about. So let me give you three things that we're going to talk about as we go along. First of all, our immediate need, right? Secondly, our greatest need. And then the third thing, our commission, the world's need. We have our immediate need, our greatest need, and then our commission, the world's need. And so the first part, I would say, is being served on a certain level by that professor who gave me a calming effect in my life as I sat there. He didn't know me, I didn't know him, but he came with a message from God, and he loved us and cared about us, and he wanted us to do well. And so he said, I know you're a freshman in college now, and you're sitting here, and it's all new for you, but I care about you, and I want to give you this verse from God so that you'll be strong. Right? So that, in that way, I was strengthened. Okay? I was given that immediate need of mine that I can be here, I can do this, I can get through this. And there was that loving kind of a way. The second thing is the greatest need, which is our salvation. Right? So I may not have been a Christian. I wrote down that I was when I wanted to apply for that school, but I just told you there were some people there that wrote that down, but they're not. Right? But I was not I wasn't doing all the things that a Christian does, but at least I knew who Jesus was, and I knew he was my Savior, and he saved me. Right? But so that is the immediate need, and for anybody, God can come in through the Holy Spirit and speak to them and help them, regardless of whether they're a Christian or not. He can come in and he can help those people. So that is the immediate need of people, to get their attention, to know that he is God, that he's real and he comes in their life. But their greatest need, and all of our greatest need, is for Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And in order to do that, you have to humble yourself. In all of that power of forgiveness, you have to humble yourself before God. If that power is going to take its effect, you can't have it when you say, I'm in control. Right? So that is really what this power thing is about. It's about humbleness in our hearts and receiving God in that kind of a way. Let me tell you one of the things that I read this week that's very interesting. A man mentioned that there was an artesian well. An artesian well is a very interesting kind of a well where water flows right in this well. And this was what was written about it. The artesian well flows freely because of the power of pressure of water at higher ground levels. Right? And so what they said was, incredible portrayal. This is an incredible portrayal of the power of the Holy Spirit from on high. Right? What does the well have to do in order to function effectively? So there's this well with water flowing, right? But it's coming from the pressure of a higher part of this pressure of water at higher ground levels. What he's saying we can gain from this is that we have to be humble. Stay low. This higher pressure is causing the flow of this water below. And so we have to have that concept and understand that that power of God has to be the most important. And we realize that it's not coming from ourselves. We have to be humble. We have to be low. And that goes against the grain of the society we live in. Let me show you how great I am. When I go to school, let me show you how much better I am and how good I am, and I can have the superior grades and all of that. And that doesn't help us spiritually at all. What we have to do is have this attitude toward God, that we are in this living water. This living water is living in us because he is the highest, and he is the one from which all of this power comes. Okay? We have to be humble before God. And secondly, we have to be open, so to speak. We have to keep the flow of the Spirit flowing, and sin stops up the flow of the Spirit. Right? It stops up that flow. So we need to be using this power that God gives to us to live for him alone and be done with sin. We have to humble ourselves before God, and we have to be committed to giving up sin through his power, giving up sin that we have been forgiven of through Jesus Christ. Right? So there's this idea there of that kind of an effect on us in this kind of a way. Right? This power that God has living in us and the giving it to us can also work in many wonderful ways. And I just want to think about that for a moment when we think about power of God. We think in a greater way of him calling everything into being and speaking it into being. There was nothing there. It was chaos. But God brings everything into form, including our lives. There's that kind of a power But there's also the kind of power that I think that this professor was trying to tell me about, was that I have been brought into that class and I'm going to Nyack College for a purpose, not to shrink away. And Timothy was the same thing. He was not to shrink away from his position in helping people to come to Christ or to be timid about those kind of things. It's an empowering thing where God comes in and gives us the ability to be able to speak about our faith. Right? And so I really believe, since that man was a man of God and he was coming into that class and teaching us, it had an immediate effect. Yes, he wanted us to do well in school. He wanted us to do well with our grades. But the greater effect, the most necessary need, is for us to know that the world is falling apart in sin and it needs Jesus. And that power working in us is helping us to be able to open up our souls and to be able to get to the point where we can express it and tell other people those things. And it doesn't have to be loud. It can be very soft. We're talking about that last week. But there was a speaker at the main church retreat who sometimes spoke a little bit louder, but there were other times when he spoke very softly so that the words would sink in. And so God's power is great, and it can be shown in great ways, but it also is very, very quietly working. And you can see that all through the Bible. Okay, so this power of God is a transforming power that is at work to save people's souls. And that's the reason that he has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us this power so that we can bring Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That is what the power is really best exemplified in, that Jesus was dead in a grave, and the power of God through the Holy Spirit pulled him out from there. So before I go any further, let me give you a few verses just to ponder on this power and to reinforce this before we move on. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Guys, I was going to school and thinking, what can I do for myself? And God was saying to me, you came here for others. So, big lesson. When you undertake this new year, don't look at what God is going to do in your life alone. Look at how he is going to use you for others. Humbling our hearts is all about that. Right? Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Jesus lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Amen? Amen. 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We need to be taking this to heart. We are putting to death the deeds of the body, right? Only by the Spirit. That's Romans 8:13. Romans 15:18 to 19. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is the power of God living in us. We have to understand that before we leave today. Have to. This is the message. We are not to live for the power of this world. We are to live through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit, through the power of God's love, the Father's love. That is our life center. Right? These people understood that, and they lived it out, witnessing to other people. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you have the power of Jesus Christ working in you, brothers and sisters? That has to be. You cannot leave here without that. You're in grave danger if you leave here without that. If you think for a moment that you can do anything on your own, you need to repent right now and get on your knees and bow before Almighty God. You cannot do anything without Him. It is the power of God that has to exemplify your life. It has to be one. You can struggle, but you have to say, I'm struggling. And that takes guts. That takes humbleness. It takes this kind of a spirit that God is showing to us. And we also have the will through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us what we need and not to think, oh, I hope it happens. That is absolutely not in the Bible. It is the will of God that we do not have a spirit of fear, but one of power. And we are feeble people, but with great arrogance, thinking that we can achieve great things. But the grace of God and Jesus Christ, this powerful being that brought everything into being, lowered himself like this artesian well. Oh, God. Hallelujah. An artesian well. He became an artesian well to be low down. For our sakes. It comes through in the times that you speak to parents. It comes through in the way that you speak to people in your life, to your husband, to your wife, to other people. It comes through when we feel like I want what I want and I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to listen to you. We need to humble ourselves. If you think for a moment, because of your age, that you can get away with things like that, then think again. It's just not true. I'm talking to you from experience. Love one another. Love one another. It takes us into this next section, right? To love one another. How? By being obedient. And I'm talking from experience. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We think that we can get away with things. I went to different dances. One of the things that I think is most problematic in high schools in America is that they have things like the candy cane ball where kids have to ask somebody else of the opposite sex to go into a dance with themselves, with them, you know, and to spend great amounts of their parents' money so that they can do so. Putting kids who are not in an age, a maturity enough to be able to know what they're doing, and yet we give them that ability to be able to ask somebody of the opposite sex to spend great amounts of their parents' money and to go out and do it. And you know what happened to me? I got angry at my parents because they didn't want me to go, and I got angry at my parents because they didn't give me the money for a tuxedo, and I demanded it, and I acted like a total jerk. Be careful what you do in life. And be filled with the Holy Spirit's power to say, I'm not going to do what everybody else does. Can I hear an amen? Have the guts and have the power of Holy Spirit working in you so that you can say, I'm not going to follow the crowd and I'm not going to just do everything else because they're doing it. Because God has given me a life and I'm responsible to Him. Not to anything else. And so who was forgotten in all of that life, in my life, in that kind of a situation with my parents? It wasn't my mother. It wasn't my father. It was God I forgot. And we do it all the time. And I'm saying that because I care. And I don't want you to fall into the same kind of things. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit comes on you. When we become Christians, when we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is living in us, right? and we become God's witnesses. And so our commission, the world's greatest need, is to hear the good news from us. So our immediate need is given to us. Our greatest need is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then our commission, the world's greatest need, is through us to glorify God and to witness his good news. And that's what it's about. Let's go on to love. I don't know what to say about this one. I got to step back for a minute. When we come to this word love, I mean, that in itself would be power, isn't it? I mean, think about it. If you were going to be giving a sermon on this and you came to the word love and he said, I gave you not a spirit of fear, but of love, what would you say? I mean, I'm serious. You know, it's like, hallelujah, God, thank you. I have nothing. It's all you. It's all what you're about. God is love. Doesn't it say that in our word, God's word? God is love. And so he's coming to this kid who's coming into the class and saying, you know, God has not given you a spirit of fear. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. And love, what does that do? It takes all that humbleness that I just talked about and it brings it onto a whole nother level. It says the humbleness is for you to not think about just coming into school or whatever situation you're in life, but it is to show God's love to other people, to love people with the love that you have been given. And if we do that, then it takes care of all these other things. Isn't that what it says in the Bible? So why don't we do it? Right? Let's do that. I'm not going to pour on the guilt things here. I want what I want is what God wants, which is for us to be built up here, and we're building one another in love. And so we start thinking more about loving people. So whatever we start in this new year, in this new semester, and all those things like that, it's going to be done through the power of God who has saved us from the grave, right? We come in humbly through his power to save us from death through the cross, and then we're filled with his love, and we find all kinds of way to glorify, to love God, and to love other people. And that's the biggest thing. Anytime that you catch yourself thinking about yourself, turn it around and say, how can I do this, God, for other people? How can you use me for other people? It doesn't have to be through words either. There was a great example. I read this thing about David Livingston was a missionary in Central Africa for many years, and he was really, you know, from all that I've read about him, he was really special, you know, a great Christian and a missionary. But this guy named Henry Stanley said this about him. If I had been with him any longer, I would have been compelled to be a Christian, and he never spoke to me about it at all. Why is that? Because the power of God was so evident in the man's life, he didn't even have to talk about it. He just exuded it. And the Spirit of God was living through this man. He didn't speak about his faith to the guy at all, but he knew what he was talking about. Without a word. And if I know anything about, you know, people in my life, that's the truth. It's because they're loving towards me when I do something against them. That they're forgiving and they're kind and they're good to me. And they show love, and they try to understand me, and they try to understand other people. They try to do things that are going to make without speaking words about who Jesus is, they want to love people and show people who Jesus is through their actions. But it just gives, I mean, it's nothing against preaching the word. But the preaching of the word can be done through our actions as well. So love, love, love. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There's another verse that was listed under this same kind of a framework for love. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So it's important that we begin this year in thinking about humbling ourselves and doing for others and loving other people and sharing our faith with other people to do just that, right? Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Take away all of your guard. Take away all the things that you think, you know, I don't want people to come in my space and say, Lord, do whatever you want. I'm ready. I'm convinced that there are so many problems between people in relationships because one person and the other person are both waiting and standing on their own will. And unless you do it my way, there's no way. And that doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with what it means to be God's follower. So there's discipline. Discipline is a very interesting thing, right? For you think, well, power, I understand. That's a great, that's, yeah, we need that. And then you get to love and you think, oh, that's really, you know, that's even better. I'm thinking like, just keep going, keep going, give me more. Okay. Practice self-discipline. Let's go back to the power and the love. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? That he's saying to us, God is saying to us, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. But self-discipline, we're going to change our minds about this through the Holy Spirit today and embrace it and see the power of that. Right? Amen? It is a good thing. Can we all say that? It's a good thing. Amen. It is a powerful, powerful thing. And it shows us that. John Maxwell is a Christian, and he wrote many, many different things about leadership. It's very, very wonderful. And but he also writes things that are practical. You know, Christianity should be practical anyway. But he wrote this article about four truths about discipline. And I know we don't have much time, so I just want to give you what he wrote as a summary. Discipline, he says, is a matter of taking total responsibility for your future. Oh man, John, why didn't you tell me that when I went to NIAC? But he's here telling us now. Discipline is a matter of taking total responsibility for your future. It's not up to anybody else, right? Take responsibility for your future, and we're going to come back to God in this, don't worry. Choose not to blame circumstances for the outcome of your life. Choose to go beyond your natural talent. Choose to make wise decisions repeatedly. Choose discipline as the path to your potential. Choose discipline as the path to your potential. He told a story about Mickey Mantle for the New York Yankees. Mickey Mantle was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. But he did not reach his full potential because he became an alcoholic. He romped and he partied after ball games in between, and he went out with his friend Whitey Ford, this other pitcher on the Yankees, and he was like, these guys were like Hall of Famers. But at the end of his life, which ended when he was in his 60s, Mickey Mantle regretted the way that he lived, and he said, I wasted all of my talent. I could have far exceeded all of the things, the number of home runs, all the different things that he had done and he was known for. He would have done much better had he not partied and gotten into all the alcohol and done those things. He used to play baseball games in Yankee Stadium drunk. He was undisciplined. So we need to take that to heart. We need to take those kind of things to heart. If you want to achieve something, you need discipline. You have to look at that aspect of it. It would be very easy to leave that out, but you can't. And it applies to the same thing in the Christian life. Every aspect of our lives as Christians comes into view here. If I were to give you good advice, or, you know, based on what I know, it's nothing new, but it would be to make sure that you don't start the day without coming before God. If you're not doing that, I would highly recommend that that is the first discipline to practice, no matter what it is, how short or how long it is, but you have to make him first in your day. And be reading a devotional, right? A devotional of some kind. There's so many around, and everybody's been passing these between us. You know, we have these things being passed, but we need to be reading God's word, because that is where our power comes from, isn't it? That is where we learn about love. That is where we learn what we need to do. The wisdom that he's talking about to choose these things, that is what we need in our lives, right? Connect with other people in the church, right? Being prayerful, praying, coming together to pray, doing those, practicing those fundamental things, coming together to fellowship, right? Meeting together for worship. All of these are disciplines. All of these things are, if you don't practice them, your faith is going to squander. And God wants us to reach our full potential, right? In Jesus Christ, in him, in the Lord. That is what this is all about. You can't think about the people that have accomplished much in life, and you will see that they have given up other things so that they can concentrate at the task at hand and achieve what it is that they want. However, we cannot afford to leave God out. He has to be central. You cannot say, I'm going to be this kind of a person, I want this kind of a career, and I'm going to do that, and God will be fit in somehow. It has to be something that, we cannot leave here today without understanding that he has to be central to your life. And so the other things that you're concentrating, you can concentrate on studying, you can concentrate on work, you can concentrate on all these other things that you want to do if you want to learn a language or whatever it is, but you have to stand on this, that God is central to your life, and you cannot compromise that. You can't. The moment you do, you're going to squander, you're not going to be in the position for life. And life is about him. Okay? We did a Bible study at an ESL class the other night. We teach ESL using the Bible. And Eugene Peterson wrote something that was really, really wonderful, but it was all about the centrality of Christ, centrality of God. He has to be center to our lives. And then one of the things he said is that he is developing us. God is developing us. That means that it is growing in a direction, right? He is at work in us. I love the way that Eugene Peterson put that, right? Because what it does is it instills hope in us for the person who feels like their life has been a waste, for a person who feels like there isn't any hope because they've had something bad happen to them. They're going through something that is just so powerful. And this guy comes along and he takes the Bible and he opens up a psalm and he says, God is our help and our strength and he is our hope. And then he says, God is developing you so that your life, with a purpose that God has given you, so that your life will not be fear-filled, but it will be filled with glory and greatness. How do you feel today? Are you satisfied with a life that is lower than that? Then lower yourself before God and see what he can do with it. Your life was meant for glory and greatness in God, because he is glorious and great. So let's commit ourselves to that, right? That we want to be thinking in this kind of a way, that God comes in with his Holy Spirit and he touches our lives and he says, I love you. And he gives us that strength. I don't have fear anymore. And then the second thing is he comes in, I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. And when you believe in him, you will be forgiven and given new life, right? And eternal life. And then third, you are my disciples. And I am sending you to fill the greatest need of people in the world today, to give them the salvation through the gospel, so that they will have Jesus Christ and that they will live, and that their lives will become glorious and purpose-filled to witness to other people about the greatness of God. Amen? And that brings us to this place here in our service. We're not going to sing a responsive song. We're going to go into communion. But this is so important, because this time of fellowship here is one where we don't just merely take the bread and the cup and then we drink it and eat it and then we close and go on to the next thing. It is a time of fellowship with one another, and it's also a moment where the Holy Spirit is moving through this room and helping us to be able to see something that we hadn't seen before when we came into this room, and opening ourselves up to that. Do you believe that? That God has spoken to you today and he's continuing to speak to you, and he can move in miraculous ways through this symbol of bread and the cup, right? At the last week we went through this at the retreat as well, the I ams of Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. Do you believe that? That your life is dependent on Jesus? He is the bread of life. Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the way we come in to this time together, to remember him and to love him and to serve him, humbling ourselves because he humbled himself for us. Amen? So at this time, let's take a moment and just to be quiet and close your eyes. If anyone here feels God's Spirit speaking to them and they want to believe in Jesus Christ, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you feel that God is calling you to himself and you want to follow him forever, you want to believe in him as your Savior, just raise your hand. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you want to be baptized, you want to follow him forever, meaning in your life, then raise your hand. Amen. If you want to recommit yourself to Jesus Christ today, if you want to give him your life again, even though you believe in him and you've been away from him, raise your hand. We prepare our hearts for communion today. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, about the Lord's Supper. You can keep your eyes closed, please, and just take these words in. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, bless this time. We are here to remember you. Holy Spirit, move among us. Touch our hearts where we need to be touched. Change us, Lord, where we need to be changed, so that, Lord, we will be reminded of your touching us with your word today, the immediate need, to let us know that we need not fear. Lord, our greatest need, that you have given us power and love and self-discipline for our salvation, and also a commission for the world's greatest need to be saved. As your witnesses, we pray, Father, that you will bless us today so that our relationship will grow such that we are unafraid to share you with others. Amen.